Welcome to episode 139 of the British Birdgang Breakdown. And you know what? It's that time again. The NFL draft has crept upon us. Countless hours wasted on mock drafts. Days spent watching YouTube highlight videos. And it's all for nothing as we have nothing to say whatsoever in what the Arizona Cardinals do this upcoming weekend. That being said, we have plenty to say in what goes in this podcast. And as ever, I'm Tom. And I'm joined by Callum to break down this, that, and whatever else we can find.
Hi, Tom. Long time no see. How are you doing?
Surviving, you know how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Been a little bit of a wild ride in some regards since last time we spoke, and in other regards, there's really nothing new as well. For one thing, the Kyler Murray situation hasn't really changed in any particularly meaningful way.
What do you mean? There's been like tons and tons of stuff on that. We could probably do a whole episode just talking about Kyler Murray. And all this
There's been tons and tons of stuff, but it's just the same stuff recycled over and over again.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose it is a good thing we haven't recorded this on our usual day, because yesterday it was a goldmine for anything Kyler Murray related.
That is a good point. There was a lot of Twitter action and a lot of reports from news conferences and stuff like that with general managers and everything.
Yeah, and Kyle, like, tweeting a few things as well. You know, they always send speculation into overdrive. But we'll touch on that in, well, may as well touch on that now because, you know, it's news. And we always kick off with the news.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of news, it's probably still the biggest story. That being that Kyler Murray still hasn't, or it hasn't been publicly announced, at least, that Kyler Murray has signed up onto a new contract or anything like that. Speculation still rolls on as to whether or not he will be a Cardinal next year. There's been quite a lot said on all sides in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've had, well, last episode we touched on it a little bit, didn't we? Because there was, you know, a bit of to and fro from Kyler, from Kyler's agent, from Steve Keim, you know. And yeah. Nothing happened for like a few weeks. It went all silent.
It really did, yeah. Just sort of not much. And then really in the last few days, I think it was it all kicked off by the Steve Keim interview where he said absolutely 100% that Kyler is staying.
Yeah, and it's like 0% chance of a trade, something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then, of course, it was kicked into overdrive when Kyler Murray replies back with a 100 emoji.
Yep, which people, depending on which side you were on, people took it both ways. People took it to mean that he was 100% agreeing. And that he wouldn't get traded. And some people took it to mean, oh, it's a 100% chance he's going to get traded.
That's the angle I went with just to piss people off on Twitter. it worked.
Yeah, I saw it worked. You got some replies on that one. But yeah, you know, for someone who was famously, you know, off of social media for a few months this year, he's really kind of come back in a big way this week.
I mean, did you notice as well he's changed his profile picture? It's actually him in a Cardinals uniform now, or rather it's just his head.
Interesting. Because that's the first time basically since he started with the Cardinals that he's had a Cardinals profile picture, right?
Yeah, because I mean, he's always had his one like cartoony picture of him in a Sooners jersey. So yeah, times are changing, aren't they?
Times are changing, yeah. And, you know, I do think that ultimately now is the season for smoke screens and all of that sort of stuff. It's the season when people are going to be making, you know, all sorts of claims and plays to try and confuse everyone as to who they're picking in the draft. And this does echo somewhat of the Josh Rosen times. Do you remember that when they were saying, oh, Josh is our guy, and then obviously went and drafted Kyler? But I do think there's one big difference between then and now, and that is the fact that it is that we're not, you know, going in for a first overall pick. We've not just come off of an awful, awful season.
I mean, yeah, exactly. We're coming off the playoff making season, aren't we? And, you know, you're just really going to build on that. Or really, that's what everyone hopes should happen. But, I mean, obviously, there's been detractors about how the Cardinals have approached off season so far. Has been a bit quiet on some fronts.
Yeah, no, that is true. But equally, you know, I would say that sometimes it can look quiet, but a lot of the stuff that they've done has been really to double down on last year's free agency, which was a particularly good one in terms of signings, and just like make sure we're bringing those guys back. And to me, that sort of says that they really believe in the the 10-2 that we had last year. They believe that the team that was looking so good at the start of the year is the team that they can be for a full year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have lost a couple of big players from that team as well, but also, you know, they've brought back a few of the people who have actually contributed to the team last year.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I just basically, you know, to finish off the Kyler Murray speculation there, I can't see them, you know, spending this time and effort in bringing back that whole team if they were planning on a year of rebuilding around a new quarterback of some kind.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you say it's the end of the Kyler Murray saga, but, you know, there's still many more twists and turns still to come. Like, of course, how can you forget the fact that Kyler Murray wasn't at the start of voluntary workouts this week?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people making stuff of that, which, you know, this is early voluntary workouts. It's weight room stuff. It's classroom stuff. It's part, like, I saw an interview with Cliff Kingsbury, so where he said, yeah, of course we would love for Kyler to be here. We'd love for everyone to be here, but it is not mandatory. You know, it's a voluntary thing. And I think, you know, if you look around the league, you're not seeing many big names showing up for this part of the off-season work.
I mean, JJ Watt was there, you know, after his brief excursion to the UK.
Yeah, JJ Watt after he was running around London. I can't believe I was in the same place at the same time as him, according to his Twitter account, and I didn't see him, which is unfortunate. And I feel like he'd be hard to miss if he was actually around. But, you know, it's not to say that no big names do it. I just think, you know, it's perfectly within Kyler's rights to not be there. And it's, again, not common for, you know, big name starters to be showing up to these ones. This is more the kind of stuff you do if you're a little bit in fear of your job.
And I mean, people do seem to miss the obvious big word there of voluntary.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people, the way that the media likes to shape these things up is to sort of go like, look, he's, you know, holding out. He's, skipping class, skipping school, all that stuff. But of course, you know, we know that it's actually nothing like that.
Well, although the big thing is with Kyler Murray is we still haven't had any news on any potential extension for him, which seems to be the main focus from his agent, at least.
Yeah, that is very interesting. But, you know, again, I think we talked about this before. We talked about how it's within both Kyler and the agent's interest to make sure that there's a lot of, you know, good energy around him getting signed when he does get signed. And it's also within the interests of the team at the moment to just kind of throw a little bit of a smokescreen around who they might draft and why. And therefore, I think holding off until after the draft or until later on in the draft to confirm him is probably a good move on everyone's regard. And not just but, you know, the rest of the front office staff have got other stuff to be focusing on at the moment as well.
Exactly. And also the same thing where is, you like, you read a lot of things online, don't you? Like, one person says one thing, another says another.
Yeah.
But there was one that I read the other day where basically said, obviously the plan is always going to be the Cardinals extending Kyler Murray. It's just the fact that this, like, these, like, inputs from Kyler's agent seem to have just sped up the process. So obviously, the Cardinals are planning on doing it sometime, but now they're going to have to do it quicker just to keep the agent quiet.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the job of the agent, right? You know, he's earning his keep there.
I mean, to be fair, that agent does have a lot of like clients on his books, so it's not like he's short of money or two, is he?
Yeah, but you know, it's all about making more money, though, right?
Yeah, there's never too much fingers, too much money, is there? Not that we know, being poor.
Yeah, doing this show for free for 6 years or whatever. But yeah, I mean, this is going to rumble on. Put it this way, I would be really, really shocked if we were doing our preseason podcasts and we weren't talking about Kyler being locked in for another couple years as our starting quarterback.
After signing a 5-year, $220 million contract.
Clearly. Yeah, something ridiculous, but we'll see. I'm sure that there's definitely some twists and turns left in this. But again, I would suggest that it's worth remembering that it is in everyone's interests on both sides of this negotiation to be in the news and be being talked about, and to be, at least at the moment, keeping their cards close to their chest.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended.
I mean, we are talking about millions and millions being spent on Kylo in the future, but what about now, with further free agent additions for the Cardinals?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that at least one of these is a fairly big name. You know, bringing in offensive lineman Will Hernandez from the Giants.
Yeah, he's previously worked with Sean Coogler back in college, so there's a bit of a history there between those two.
Which, yeah, is perfect for kind of getting rooted and getting started in the team. And I think, you know, the Cardinals' offensive line has shown better stability in the past few years. But I think part of that is really, or part of maintaining that is going to be getting the best possible depth on the go with this. And for offensive line, that depth includes getting people who are able to play at different positions. You know, they're able to play at guard, they're able to play at tackle, maybe even play at center. Because that kind of what, you know, one of the things that really hurt us last year.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously there is the spot open at right guard at the moment on the roster. So, you know, we could slot Will Hernandez in there straight away and he would be quite an upgrade. Well, it would be an upgrade because you've got no one there in the first place.
Yeah, I do think that that's probably a great place for him to be to sort of start, especially because we're unlikely to draft somebody who's like ready to start in the offensive line. So I can see Hernandez being brought in, you know, sort of specifically to plug that gap. And again, you know, being brought in for a right guard, but, you know, we know he can play tackle. He's played tackle in college, I believe, as well. So yeah, just a good all round signing. I'm pleased with that one.
Another one was the addition of tight end Steven Anderson.
And so Anderson's more of a blocking tight end, which would complement quite nicely with our other tight end roster, essentially, that we've got built up at the moment,
which is basically Zach Ertz and Max Williams and Bernard Sijkovic.
Yeah,
which is going to happen this year, I'm sure.
Well, you never know. You know, we can talk more about Sijkovic in a minute, actually. But yeah, I think those are our two kind of new signings, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the other three additions, well, since we last recorded anyway, are people who we've brought back who were on the roster last year.
Yeah, great to see the return of both Antoine Wesley and Jonathan Ward, both made contributions last year, especially on special teams.
And both had highlight-worthy plays and were close contenders for play of the year last year.
That is a good point, yeah. Especially at Dallas, wasn't it?
It was, yes, with that ridiculous Jonathan Ward catch on the front fake punt.
So good, so good. But yeah, again, you know, like continued stability across the years, that's definitely something that'll be helpful.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously both of them contributed in both in different ways, didn't he? With Jonathan Ward on special teams, Wesley, when DeAndre Hopkins went down, he stepped up a fair bit.
Yeah, Wesley made some really good first team reps sort of during that period, and as I said, he was playing on special teams a fair bit as well. So great to see both of them sign in their tender offers. The third one that you mentioned, significantly bigger name than either Wesley or Ward, but definitely much more controversial. AJ Green is returning for another year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I put down controversial because everyone seems to remember that play in Green Bay.
Yep.
Although then they're completely forgetting the entire rest of the season what he had, where he racked up over 800 yards receiving in his first year here.
Well, yeah, I think between that play, and I think there was another one where he missed a potential game-winning catch, but I think it's a bit harsh to judge him by those two plays, particularly because, as you said, an excellent all-round season from him, 800 or so yards. Brilliant presence in the team. And between him and Kirk, they both, you know, were having sort of a really good games whenever they needed to pick up the pieces.
And I think it is another only 1 year deal. So, you know, not breaking the bank once again, just to keep an experienced veteran player around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it comes to someone like AJ Green, it is smart to sort of keep him on a one-year deal, because especially for a wide receiver, you kind of never know when they're going to lose that speed. And the way that we're using AJ Green, at least we still do rely on him having a fair bit of speed. It's not like a Larry Fitzgerald situation where that can kind of wane a little bit and he can still be very useful in the slot. It's much more you know, traditional wide out than that. But yeah, I think for another year, it's definitely fair to give him another chance, because I also think, you know, if the Cardinals front of house let him get away, they would definitely be facing, you know, controversy from those same people whenever AJ Green went to another organization and had a good year. Because I don't doubt he's got another couple good years left in him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm happy to bring him back, you know. I'm not seeing the financial details of it yet, but, you know, who cares about money? It's not our money to spend.
Yeah, I think the thing that strikes me about AJ Green is, and you see this, he brings this up in a few interviews throughout the year and throughout this offseason as well, is that he's interested not in getting the ball, not in making the play or anything like that. He's interested in winning one way or another. And, you know, I think he made comments to that effect where he was basically saying if he could spend the entire time on the field just distracting DBs so that Christian Kirk could get in and get all the touchdowns, he would be fine with that. He's there to win games and to get a ring. And I think that, you know, the fact that he's got that attitude is great for the Cardinals. And I think the fact that he has re-signed with the Cardinals is a great sign for Cardinals fans, and at least AJ Green believes as well that the Cardinals are contenders for the Super Bowl within, you know, a few years.
And also, I don't think it stops the Cardinals from maybe looking at wide receiver in the upcoming draft as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think any options that are open, but obviously having that stability and having those veteran guys in helps the whole wide receiver core regardless.
And of course, before we get on to the draft part of this episode, we do have one more piece of news.
Yeah, another addition, I guess. Technically a free agent addition.
Yeah, the Cardinals. Are you leaving this just to me because you don't know how to pronounce the guy's name?
I can have a go at it. Hagai Shisom Dumbusi.
That's probably better than what I'd have done, because I think it just sounds like N-dubs. That's why it could be his nickname.
I apologize for not being able to pronounce that name, but the Cardinals have brought in a Nigerian offensive lineman through the NFL Africa program, which is a really exciting, interesting program. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's organized, of course, by London's OC Umenyor, which, you know, big name on the NFL UK scene, isn't he, these days?
Yeah,
you know, that's BBC and all that.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's a great program to be having, and I think, you know, getting big names like that and really kind of helping the league to become the true world championship that it has been, you know, claiming to be all these years can only be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Cardinals aren't strangers to having all this international pedigree on their team. They've had plenty of Mexicans in the past. They've got some Austrian guy at the moment.
Yeah, we mentioned Bernard Zajkiewicz earlier, who's obviously been working out on the practice squad, and you know, we still have hopes that he could make it onto the roster one day.
I mean, it is an interesting thing they do with this NFL Africa, because obviously, like, I think I saw quotes from OC saying, like, you know, there's plenty of big athletes down there that just are, like, undiscovered. Like, some of them, he was saying, like, they're twice, three, four, five times the athlete he was at their age. So, like,
I mean,
and obviously he made it to the NFL, won Super Bowl. So, you know, there's plenty of untapped potential out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, that's the thing that the NFL is slowly realizing, right, is that, like, essentially recruiting from this very closed-off pool of U.S. colleges is not bringing them the absolute best and the talent that they can have. And, you know, they need so many players for these things that bringing in just basically very talented athletes is going to be doing them a world of good. And I think, yeah, programs like this and bringing in, you know, guys from all over the world again, helping both to spread the sport and also to help it earn its title as a world championship.
Yeah, it's like with the Philadelphia Eagles, isn't it? Like a few years ago, they spent a 7th round draft pick on Jordan Mailata. He's like a former Australian rugby player.
Never played
the sport again in his life. But like now he's like, he's been paid multi-millions of pounds to play left tackle for them.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he'd never handled a ball in his life before that.
And I think the 49ers had an Aussie Rules guy in as well, right?
Yeah, the former rugby player. I mean, we don't mention his name anymore. He's a bit of a bad lad, isn't he, these days?
Yeah, he is.
But I mean, but like the Cardinals in the past, they've had Australians, haven't they? They had Ben Graham, the punter, a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, again, it's like expanding that even further outside of English-speaking territories and things like that as well, or sort of Europe-centric stuff that they've done with a lot of the NFL Europe things. But, you know, bringing in, again, this huge pool of talented people. And hopefully, Haggai, I will make an effort to learn that name properly, will come in and make his mark with the Cardinals. And if he can come in and produce great football, then that's a win in everyone's book, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just going to stick to calling M-dubs. It'd be easy.
Yeah, N-dubs. And that brings us neatly on to a time when we're going to have to learn a whole lot of new names as well, because it snuck up on us. Tom and I very nearly forgot to record our pre-draft episode because it is NFL draft time. And we nearly forgot about it.
I don't think we nearly forgot. It was just, you know, it's just that time of the year again, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
a week from today, we'll have at least one new Cardinal. Then a day later, we'll have 3 new Cardinals. And then by the end of the Saturday, we'll have possibly 7 new Cardinals. Who knows? Maybe more.
Yep. You know, the Cardinals definitely have some positions to fill. You know, we've got positions which have journeymen at them. We've got positions which we've traditionally had a problem with over the last, couple of years. Lots of good work could be done in this draft, especially if Steve Keim doesn't come in and draft another hopeless defensive lineman.
Do you mean he's got his eyes on a linebacker with the 23rd pick, surely?
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, as we say, Cardinals have got holes all over the roster. Like, even though they were a playoff team last year, they can still improve all over the field. But the question is, where do they go with the first pick and the second pick and the third pick?
Well, I think it's an interesting problem as well, because we've had this for a sort of few years, but I think picking like in the middle or into the last third is almost one of the hardest places to pick, because your very, very clear prospects are all done and gone, and very few people are going to want to bother trading with you.
I mean, you do get the occasional team who may want to come up from like day two just to pick up a guy in the first round, because that'll give them like the 5th year option, wouldn't it, down the line?
Yeah, and I think we saw that a few years ago, the Cardinals trading away their first round pick for sort of an early second rounder just to for someone else to secure something. But again, 23 is not going to be the kind of pick that is sort of sought after unless you market it well.
Yeah, I mean, there is always the option they could trade up as well, just to go get someone if they are allegedly infatuated with, but we'll talk about them in a bit.
Absolutely. But in terms of positions, you know, there's not, unlike the last few years, there's not really a sort of single glaring position that we have need of. You know, there's some wide receiver slots potentially still in that room. Again, defensive lineman would be a classic Cardinals pick there, but very useful. Offensive lineman, we've just mentioned that we've still technically got a big hole at right guard. Classic Cardinals conundrum of cornerback, especially cornerback 2.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we could also go for edge rusher, given the fact we lost Chandler Jones this year.
Yeah, no, that is a good one, actually. Bringing in, you know, a nice a sort of big, speedy body would really help there. And, you know, we saw how effective for what, one game, two game, we saw how effective the combination of Chandler Jones and JJ Watt was. But, you know, expecting somebody to come out of the draft and produce like Chandler Jones is a big ask.
Oh yeah, especially for a rookie, you know, like if they can get double digit sacks, you know, that's a good season. That's actually an incredible season.
It would be a very like rookie of the year level type of season to get right up there. But you know, you never know, right?
I mean, it says that obviously with who we've got in the depth chart, I mean, who we've got starting at the moment, Marcus Golden and Dennis Gardeck.
Yeah, so not exactly superstars, basically.
It's definitely going to be opportunities there should we go for an edge rusher in the draft.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, if you're, that's definitely one way to look at it. You know, if you're coming in as somebody from college and you want your chance, you want your shot, you know, that's a good, that would be one that you'd be looking for, right?
Oh, yeah,
thinking,
absolutely.
Like, I'll get some snaps during the year.
Yeah, actually, they'd probably get more snaps than any other position, to be honest, that we could draft. So perhaps edge could be the place to go, should one be there at 23.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that there's been quite a lot of buzz around who's actually been sort of visiting with the Cardinals and who everyone was talking with at the Combine and things like that. I never know how much store to exactly set in those, but it's worth talking about a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Cardinals have brought in quite a lot of players for their 30, like, pre-draft visits. You know, they've had guys like Arkansas wide receiver Treylon Burks. I'm trying to find names that people may have actually heard of. Like, no one knows where the hell Sam Houston State is, do they? Do you know?
No, I do not.
So you'd have no idea who Jaquez Ezard is?
Only because I've had a look through a list of the people the Cardinals have had a talk to. We do know, or we'd maybe know, Alabama running back Brian Robinson. Obviously, running back there is a position that we didn't immediately discuss because the Cardinals have held on to one of their two star running backs. But obviously, with Chase Edmonds going as well, there's a space there for a kind of, you know, second running back, especially if they decide to continue working by committee. Don't know how happy James Conner would be with that, but
I'm sure he'd be happy enough. You know, he was fine working with Chase Edmonds, you know. As long as he can still get his touchdowns and catch up to David John Crow, it's fine. Jameson Williams as well, he's an interesting one who's came in for a visit, but again, he might be one. Like, there has been reports that the Cardinals are infatuated with him. But then again, there are many places saying he's a top 10 pick, so he's going to be well out of our reach.
I was going to say, I do think there's an element of, you know, with your 30 visits, there's some that you take where it's like, all right, this guy is touted to be top 10. But, you know, just in case he falls, or we think there's like maybe something that might cause him to his draft stock to fall, you know, you want to be able to have like a personal chat with people before you get to that stage. So I can't imagine him falling that far, but it's good to see that they're at least sort of chatting about it.
Yeah, I mean, as well, it's like the Cardinals met with quarterback Malik Willis in the NFL Combine, but then again, so did 31 other teams.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's some people that you just don't give up a chance to have a chat with, at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that the Cardinals are going to draft him or trade Kyler Murray away to go and then go and draft him, but you never know in the NFL.
Yeah, again, you know, it's all these people who are claiming that the Cardinals are going to trade away Kyler for a high pick so they can go after a quarterback. You know, I just don't understand how they think that that's a good idea, trading away a known quantity for an unknown one. But hey, stranger things have happened.
I mean, he is a little bit taller than Kyler, so, you know, we could stop with the short man jokes.
I'm sure they'll still follow him around.
I mean, obviously, the most important part of it being NFL draft season is the fact that mock drafts are a thing.
They sure are. And boy, am I tired of looking at mock drafts. I think my favorite thing about the draft every year is the end of mock drafts.
What do you mean? As soon as Saturday's over, people have got their 2023 mock drafts out.
Yeah, they really do, though, isn't it? It's so funny.
I mean, like, you have any idea, like, where the team's going to be picking next year? Like, people don't even know where they're picking this year, some of the times.
Yeah, I think it's very extremely idle speculation at that point. But, I mean, have you seen anything particularly interesting in mock drafts?
Well, I mean, the main thing seems to be nobody has any idea where the Cardinals are going to go. Although, then yeah. again... You're 22 picks into the draft, aren't you? So, like, if you're going to know every yeah. single pick that's come before the Cardinals, you know, what are the lottery numbers? Please tell us.
Exactly. But no, I was this what exactly what I was going to say there was that the only remarkable thing about the mock drafts to me this year are how different they all are. I think every one of them that I've seen has the Cardinals going for a different name. You know, some names that I've sort of not even really heard of, to be honest.
I mean, there are plenty of mock drafts still umming and ahhing who's going number one overall, and like most years that seems to be nailed, like set in stone, yeah. like weeks beforehand, isn't it?
Well, if it's not set in stone, then it's at least like, oh, well, it's going to be one of these two guys.
I suppose it does help though, the fact that last year's number one pick was Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
that
then
is
the number
true.
One pick this year is also the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's not like they need a quarterback, is it?
Yeah, which is usually obviously like the big thing if you're going number one overall is coming in and you know, taking a nice quarterback there, because you've usually had a really bad time of it and need a new quarterback. But again, yeah, like
Jacksonville just like
where do
just
you even,
bad,
where do you
basically?
Yeah. Where do you start with the Jags? Like what do you there's no like missing single piece. It's like you're missing the picture on the box of what the puzzle's supposed to be like.
You just basically just pick the best player, don't you? But then again,
yeah,
that's subjective.
So. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the interesting thing about this particular draft class is that, you know, there's no, you know, like some years there's like, okay, well, let's take the Kyler Murray year, right? Like you've got Kyler Murray, very talented quarterback, very exciting player. Obviously number one pick material, but then, you know, surrounded by that, you've got, you know, like very talented and very athletic linebackers and defensive linemen and a couple wide receivers and stuff as well, where you sort of think like, okay, well, at least they're, you know, an outside look at first overall pick. And I think here what we've got is a combo of quite a sort of flat talent level. Like there's a lot of people who are very talented but also just no huge personalities either.
Yeah, there's like no real standout player, is there? Like there's some really good players and like one or two maybe better than like the one who does go overall, but they like just projections, aren't they?
Yeah, there's no sort of star, I guess.
It's a bad year to have the number one pick, but you know, it is what it is.
Well, the Jags have had enough number one picks in their time, so it's time they got a bum one anyway.
But I mean, it's one of them things as well. Like, you look at mock drafts and it's like, you may get one stupid one where there's like five or six quarterbacks going in the top 10. And then like there's other ones where maybe there's like two or three going in the entire first round. It's like, no one knows anything this year.
That's the thing as well. It's like, there's certain rules that you can follow where it's like, okay, well, within the top 10, usually like 60% of that's going to be quarterbacks. But again, you know, if you've not got like really sort of star looking quarterbacks, then yeah, it's just going to be going down to like the best athletes. And as you said, you know, there's just no consistency. So it'll be an interesting one to see how it shakes out. I noticed that you've written down kind of your sort of favorite five-ish picks. And I think that's the best way to approach it from like a Cardinals only perspective, is like, well, what's the sort of five interesting picks, I guess? What are the five interesting directions that you could go in?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the main guy I want the Cardinals to get is Jameson Williams from Alabama, the wide receiver. But again, that seems very unlikely if like pre-draft speculation is to be believed.
Yeah, and you know, like he could fall, but when you get a player like that, if they start to fall outside the top 10, then somebody's just going to abandon their draft strategy and pick him anyway, right? So the only thing that we could really hope for, I think, for him to fall all the way to the Cardinals would be to have him, you know, have his draft stock dramatically fall, which usually at this point just means some sort of scandal about him is revealed.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like the guy tore his ACL and still people think he's a top 10 pick, which just,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just goes to show the sort of talent he could possibly be. Like, people like compare him to like Tyreek Hill, and we've all seen what he can do in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be mad about that, obviously. I think that would be an excellent guy to bring in, especially with our you know, wide receiver core being like a good place to come and learn, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Treylon Burks down there in a sort of similar idea as well, actually.
Yeah, and the same with Drake London, even though that name combines two of my most hated things on the planet.
That's quite funny. Yeah, no, I think, you know, any of these wide receiver picks would be a reasonable addition. And not only that, but, you know, we've seen the way that Cliff Kingsbury likes to set up and change about formations and wide receiver groups depending on the package. And therefore, there's a good chance that any of them might see the field as well.
Yeah, I mean, off the three mentioned there, Burks is probably the most likely just because he had a poor combine showing. But again, yeah, like, you can't always take the running in shorts numbers, can you, to be like gospel?
No, you can't. I mean, there's such a big difference between the dynamics of sprinting down a track and that of, you know, playing on a football field. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that you need, I think, to get a really like top class player in the like last quarter of the draft, is you basically need them to have had a poor showing somewhere or had some sort of like mild scandal around them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, wide receiver could be one place that they go, but again, we mentioned before, edge. Like, we need an edge rusher on the Cardinals defense, and I think there could be one there at 23 in George Karlaftis.
Karlaftis, yeah. And I mean, edge rusher, we spoke about it before there, but huge opportunity for somebody to come in and make an immediate mark.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you can't beat out Dennis Gardeck and Marcus Golden, do you even belong in the NFL?
Yeah, well, exactly. I think that's, you know, a huge potential to really come in and show off sort of immediately. Is to come in as an edge rusher, and we know that the team is like broadly set up to allow that to work because of how we saw Chandler Jones do it, but those are also some really big boots to fill.
Massive boots to fill, and you know, obviously if you're going to be expecting 5 sacks in one game from the rookie, then maybe you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think you might be a bit disappointed by that. But
although he does get to play Seattle twice a year, so who knows with their paper thin offensive line.
Yeah, indeed. Oh goodness, I imagine we've got some discussion to be had about Seattle in our sort of preseason content. But oh boy.
And I mean, speaking of offensive linemen, you know, when is it a need for the Cardinals? And you know, there's one big guy who could possibly come in straight away, and he's number 3 on the list, and that's Zion Johnson.
Yeah, again, as you said, it's constantly need, and I think Zion as well has the same sort of makeup as Will Hernandez in that regard of somebody who can and has played multiple positions, which would be just such a huge element of being on this Cardinals roster.
I mean, if he was the pick at 23, he's surely like a day one start yeah, of the Cardinals on the line, you know. I mean, as well, if he was right guard, he's like next to one of the best centers in NFL history, and then probably Kelvin Beachum at right tackle. So it's like that right side looks pretty good. And then we've got Justin Pugh and DJ Humphreys on the other side. You know, that's a pretty good offensive line to have protecting Kyler Murray.
Yeah, big time. And we saw, you know, like when the offensive line was playing well last year, there was a huge gain in total offense.
And then as soon as they fell apart, so did the Cardinals.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the elements, wasn't it?
But what's new then, is it? You know, it's always the case, isn't it? When the offensive line disappears, so does everything else, basically.
Yeah, it really is. But perhaps the offensive line's problems are not to be solved by the draft. Perhaps instead the defensive line would be a place to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably unlikely that either of these two guys are there, but also I've seen mock drafts where both of them are like picked in like the late 20s, 30s. So who even knows anymore?
Yeah, of course, you're talking about Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Davis there.
Both of them from Georgia.
It really does depend on the absolute chaos of this year's draft, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Cardinals defensive line anchored by J.J. Watt. You know, we've got Zach Allen. We've got a few guys who are just like good contributors. Like we got Lecky Fotu, Michael Dogby, Rashard Lawrence. But it's like we haven't got that standout guy in the middle. And that's what maybe Wyatt or Davis could be for us.
That is like a fair assessment there, I think. And, again, bringing in a superstar rookie could be the exact thing that the defense needs to really find a true identity, you know?
Well, I mean, given our struggles against defending the run, like putting a big mammoth guy like either of those two in the middle, it's like maybe that problem's going to be solved.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I mean, that was something that even when the Cardinals were playing extremely well last year, they struggled a lot with. So, if we could see them really, really pick up in that regard, then obviously that would be huge.
And then last but not least on my list, I've got cornerback. And we've got, obviously, the Cardinals have had success going to Washington with Buda Baker and Byron Murphy. So why not add either Trent McDuffie or Kyler Gordon? Because there is room for one more Kyler in Arizona.
And obviously that would be great for them, having some sort of alumni on the team and getting themselves settled in nicely. But cornerback, just a perpetual need for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, we don't need like an elite cornerback. We just need like good play, especially like guys who can cover.
Yeah, we just need a steady cornerback, and as you said, people who can just provide like really solid coverage.
Not that we're asking for much, you know. It's not hard to do, is it? Clearly,
yeah. There's definitely something to do with that, but we'd be obviously, you know, a big get. And again, like I could see cornerback being a position where you could make some immediate gains, but it might just not be, you know, day one, game one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they may make a few plays during the rookie year, but, you know, perhaps it's not, like you say, an immediate impact position, is it? Because it's like we've got Byron Murphy, we've got Marco Wilson coming in on the second year. You know, hopefully he'll be more improved with that year with his belt.
Yeah, and we saw them improve, you know, throughout the year as well. But equally, I think there's always good room for improvement in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, it's not might not be an exciting pick, but, you know, again, neither would be a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman.
I mean, I think ultimately at 23, you're not really getting an exciting pick either way.
I mean, it just depends, doesn't it? Like, there's going to be talented players available at 23. It's just who is going to be there, like on the list that the Cardinals put together.
Absolutely. And, after all of that absolute bashing of mock drafts and things like that, should we see what happens if we try and put one together?
Yeah, we may as well. But, you know, I think before we do, I should say we should do a three-round mock draft, because the Cardinals, like, draft picks this year are weird because you've got 1, 2, and 3. And then they don't pick again until the 6th round. Then they got 2 picks. And then they got 3 in the 7th.
Yeah, which... I don't know about you, but I'm not going to start trying to make any predictions about the 7th round, especially if we can barely predict the 1st.
I mean, I'll still do it, just like picking like the weirdest names going. Like,
oh, that's always fun.
I'm sure there's another Kyler we could pick later on as well.
yeah, we're going to have a team called Oops All Kylers.
It could be done, I'm sure.
I reckon it could be done. Okay, let's have a go. And we'll see, based on what random or what picks the computer wants in front of us, what holes we can plug.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, we are using the draftnetwork.com mock draft machine, which has been the mainstay of the Cardinals, well, basically British Bird Gang content for the past few Mondays, like 12, 13 weeks in a row now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great system, and it sort of helps to predict all of the picks beforehand, so it means that we don't have to do as much work for that.
Yep. Well, I mean, I've got our options already for number 23 because I chose it to go fast. So we're not going to select a quarterback, even though we've got Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, and Kenny Pickett all available. So our option.
Yeah, I was about to say, do we need a backup? But we don't need a backup. We're sorted in that regard.
I know, how dare you say that when we got Colt McCoy on the roster.
Exactly. And Colt did so well last year, so it's not happening.
I mean, we've got three of my pick of my five in this options. So we've got we've got Zion Johnson, George Karlaftis in Edge. We've also got Kenyon Green, another lineman. Kaya Elam, cornerback. Treylon Burks, wide receiver. Or Andrew Booth Jr., cornerback.
I mean, I'm personally finding it quite hard to look past George Karlaftis there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, could pick Johnson here. Could pick Karlaftis. Could pick Burks. But yeah, I think I'd be happy with Karlaftis here, so...
Again, I think, you know, that's the one that's going to have the immediate impact, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's got to come in straight away, possibly take snaps week one, who knows. But yeah, definitely someone who should contribute as a rookie. Our second pick would be number 55. And our options are, should we ignore the quarterback? Because again, we don't need a quarterback.
Well, I think at the very least, what we don't need is a second round quarterback. You know, I think if we were getting a quarterback at the moment, it would be like a third string. And I think that's the kind of guy that you can trade for after the fact, or pick somebody up off the street or whatever.
Yep. So our options here could be Kenneth Walker III, a running back. We've got DeMarvin Leal, defensive lineman. Roger McCreary, cornerback. Trey McBride, tight end. Or Dylan Parham, a offensive lineman.
What was the name of the running back?
Kenneth Walker III.
I think that could be worth a punt on Kenneth Walker III, right?
I mean, he's one of my favourite players in the draft, so I wouldn't complain drafting him here. But again, we could go... Yeah, let's go for him.
I don't think it's immediately one of the positions of need, but I do think... You know, with having lost Chase Edmonds, you know, it would be good to have somebody, you know, in reserve.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things with the Cardinals as well. He's obviously going to get carries, isn't he? We're just given how
exactly,
he used the running backs.
And, you know, it's important to have backups for running backs as well because of how frequently they're injured.
Okay, and our final pick would be pick number 87 in round 3. I don't think we need another edge, so we could ignore that. Although Drake Jackson could be an option because,
if you were going to draft another edge after spending your first round pick on one, you would need to be pretty convinced that that was the answer to your problems, especially when we've got other places we need people now as well. So
I mean, you can never have too many edge rushes, can you?
It's true, but we've already ignored, you know, all of our primary positions of need with the second one, so the second pick.
I suppose, yeah, we wouldn't be good GMs, would we? We'd just take the
no,
best.
No, we wouldn't. We need to draft for need here.
Okay, so we've got...
Who've we got at defensive line?
Defensive line, we've got Fidarian Mathis. He is from Alabama, 6'4", 310 pounds.
Oh, quite small for a defensive lineman then.
Yeah, but they say he could be playing the 3-4, which is what we run.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What about at wide receiver? Any decent wide receivers around?
Doesn't look like it, no.
I think if you're looking into the third round to find a wide receiver too, you're on a hiding to nothing. I think we go defensive line then.
Yeah, I mean, let's have a look what other options we have at defensive line. So what sort of a defensive lineman do we need? Just a big nose tackle or something like that?
Yeah, well, we really what we need is we need to be able to stop the run. So I think, yeah, nose tackle's not a bad shout, but generally you want big body, quick 40 time, and a big wingspan as well, I suppose.
You're not asking for much though, are you?
No.
He has to be like 6-7 foot tall, and he has to be like 200 pounds and like run for like 4.4, 40, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I want you know, the perfectly engineered man. No.
And let me just have a look, because I just accidentally cut out from where we were. But it's fine. I've been able to get the same pick again.
Excellent.
Should be able to get the same second pick as well. Let's see. No, the Kansas City Chiefs just stole him. Should we do it again then? Let's do another one.
Okay, yeah, sure. We'll keep this in. We'll keep in the...
Let's ignore running back this time round. So we've still gone for Karlaftis. This time we could go for...
Who've we got? Who've we got? Because we had a defensive lineman there left, right?
In the second, this is our second time round, yes.
Yeah.
Completely balls this up. I shouldn't be doing it on my phone. It's just wrong. It's messed
everything.
Good.
It's good for everyone to see behind the scenes at how you put together every Monday's mock draft.
I know, and it's one of those things as well. It's like, the more you do them, the more chance you've got of being right.
Yeah, true. You just need one, and then you can point back at it and go, look,
I'm a genius. I know. That's my plan all along. That's why they're like hundreds of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we get daily ones next week.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe just because I'm bored, you know, at work. But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
As long as my boss doesn't hear this, it's fine.
All right. Who are we going for in the second round then?
So I'm going back through the first round again. But we can still get our guy, so that's fine.
Yeah. All right. This is for three drafts in a row. We're taking Karlaftis at the first round, so
basically, yeah. So it's not going to happen, is it, in real life?
It's not going to happen. No, I feel like he's going to go in the top 10 or something like that.
Okay, I'm back to round two again. So pick number 55.
All right,
we could still take Kenneth Walker again.
No. Let's take somebody from a position that we actually need. So, who have we got in defensive line?
Defensive lineman, we have got DeMarvin Leal. 6'4", 283 pounds, but he is more of a 4'3", so not a fit for us.
Not a great fit for it. What about at cornerback?
Cornerback, we have Roger McCreary, 5'11", 190. Nope, possibly not. Although he is an athlete, apparently.
What college is he from?
From Auburn.
Yeah, you know, that's a good school.
Yeah, I mean, we could also go for offensive lineman. Is Dylan Parham from Memphis? Or we could go for a Alabama wide receiver, but it's not Jameson Williams, so kind of sad.
I think Dylan Parham sounds like a good shout.
Yep, he was a linebacker and tight end in high school, apparently.
Yeah, so he's got the athleticism as well.
6'3", 313 pounds.
I think we can fatten him up.
Yeah, just get Buddy Morris on the line, don't you?
Exactly. Sorted.
We'll take him then. We could protect Kyler Murray, maybe. Yep. Or we can try to anyway.
All right. Third attempt for a third round. Let's see what we got.
Okay, so the options we have are, we could have Isaiah Likely, a tight end. He's also been in for a visit, so he could be a likely pick. If you ignore the terrible pun there. Like, yeah, everyone will.
Likely.
We could have Marcus Jones, cornerback from Houston. We could have Fedarian Mathis, the defensive lineman from Alabama.
I think bringing in a cornerback is actually, because we've got two big guys with the last two picks, so bringing in a skill position player, and also I think given that we've got sort of a cornerback solution just now, but we still need like better overall cornerbacks, then taking a punt in the third round seems like a good shout.
Yeah, let's see what we've got. What do we want? They're a big cornerback, so like six foot two.
Well, that would definitely help with coverage, right?
You'd hope so anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that then.
Okay, we could have either Martin Emerson from Mississippi State or Josh Williams from Fayetteville State, which sounds like a Steve Keim sort of school.
He does like the small schools, doesn't he?
I've seen one name here, though. We could have someone with two first names as his name. Zach Tom.
I mean, if only he was a sort of defensive lineman or something, and he could be Zach Tom, but, you know, alas, we'll have to stick with Zach Allen.
No one's got a Zach Tom, though. Tom's here forever.
It's true. I mean, I think that's the thing, isn't it? For without seeing the film of these guys, it really could be any of them. But I do think I think cornerback's the right pick here.
Yeah, let's go for the Steve Camp special then.
Yeah, go on then. Small school, let's do it.
Do we even know where Fayetteville is? No. We'll have to Google it.
Yeah. Again, like that's what makes it a Steve Camp special, right?
Exactly. So yeah, that's our third round. Well, our three round mock draft. Three round mock draft. We've gone for George Karlaftis from Purdue, Dylan Parham from Memphis, and Josh Williams from Fayetteville State. And we've already done a better job than Steve Keim. So you know where we are, Michael, when you get rid of him.
Absolutely. Michael can fly over and pick us up. It'd be perfect. But yeah, indeed. Another live mock draft done for the British Bird Gang Breakdown. And I'm sure that we will be back in you know, a week and a bit to talk about just how wrong we were.
I mean, if we are wrong, then, you know, we just brush over it, don't we? It's like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We've got new picks to talk about. We don't need to dwell on how bad our picks were.
Exactly. Or we could be spot on with all of them and then, you know, we're like geniuses.
Very, very good point. But yeah, there we are. Another episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown down.
Yep. And of course, we will be back after the draft for our post-draft breakdown, where we obviously break down because the Cardinals never picked a single player that we decided to pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And break down because we've gone for another alpha tag guy who we will never see again.
Yeah, but he has a nice high Cardinals score, so that's something at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Or something anyway, like that, at least.
Anyway, we need Steve to start. A proper Steve Kymeism. But yes, we need to stop rambling and let Steve and Cole get on with the draft that they're cooking up.
Yep. So as always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang and join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tml.com. And of course, if you like what you listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review, wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. And I'm going to go rest my voice because it's been a long week and I've got the draft to look forward to. So
yes, indeed. I'm going to go do the same.
So until next week or next time, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.